What's up there, youth pastors? Paul Turner here from thediscipleproject.net and your host of the Youth Ministry Motion Podcast, the podcast that wants to keep you motivated and your youth ministry moving forward. How are you today? All I hear about and see online these days, it seems to be that we're talking about strippers in church and the inability to correct that there are strippers in church. You say, what are you talking about, Paul? What a weird way to start off the podcast. This thing has to do with Mark Driscoll and the church, James Rivers, and it's just chaos and nonsense, and I don't know what we're doing. Come on, church. Come on, church. I think I'm just going to start a segment called Come On, Church, because we're not that these things should not be talked about, not that these things shouldn't be corrected, not that these things shouldn't be put under the microscope, but my heavens. It just seems like everything, my feed is filled with the stuff. Like, my Lord, come on, church. I'll put a link down below. If you're interested in the article and you want to read about it, go ahead. If you want me to do a whole episode on it, well, you can always email me at thediscipleproject@gmail.com and say, Paul, we wish to hear more content like this. Well, okay, and I'll be happy to give you my, not only opinions per se, but I'll also be happy to break it down what I think Scripture says as well. But that is not what this episode is about today. This episode is about how to challenge youth spiritually without pushing them away, otherwise known as discipleship. Before I proceed, though, I wish to welcome all of you that are brand new here to the podcast. Thank you for being here. Thanks for checking it out. And if you enjoy what you hear, don't forget to hit the subscribe or follow button, whatever the button says where you're listening to this podcast at. And if you are a regular, as always, I appreciate your time and your attention. You could be doing something else right now, but you're listening to this podcast, and I thank you for it. I think all of you that are listening who reach young people and try to foster their spiritual growth, otherwise known as discipleship, it's a delicate art, right? It's more like, for youth pastors, it's more like walking a tightrope between what we ought to say and what we have permission to say. And I think that's most of us. There are a few out there who think the best tactic is to simply throw scriptures like daggers at students about what the Bible says, if they want to correct them, if they want to, drop some spiritual truth on them. They're just quoting scripture to them all the time. And I don't know if that's the best tactic for discipleship. I'm pretty sure it's not, especially if you don't have the depth of relationship. And once again, back to that word permission, I think if you try to do that, it will backfire, leading to simply just withdrawal and resentment of students. And I think the foundation of discipleship is permission to say something, right? To not every kid that's in our youth group, we're not their pastor. They just come to youth group. I think there's a big difference. I think we have to recognize that not every kid that comes to youth group is saying, I would like you to tell me spiritual truth about my life, about what the Bible says, what I ought to do, what I ought not to do. I think we have to recognize that there are those kids in there, and there are those kids that we do have that they do allow us. They consider us their pastor, their mentor, their discipler. But to effectively disciple a young person, I believe that youth pastors need the permission of two people, the student and the parent. Students, right, you have to talk to them and say, listen, I'm trying to help you, man. I'm trying to help you live a life for Christ. Are you interested in that? Is that something you'd like me to help you with? And offer them the opportunity to say yes or no, because it's going to direct the conversations you have with them going forward. You want to tell them, listen, I want to offer you guidance and support and all those things. Is that what you want? And emphasize too, by the way, that it's a safe place, right? A safe space for you to be able to do this, to have honest conversations, right? I'm not here to judge or just preach at you. And once I think you clarify the relationship and say, do I have permission to say this and speak into your life? If they say yes, well, then you can move forward. If they say no, or you're not interested, well, then you have to then think about some other ways that you want to be able to minister to them without having that permission. The second person or people that you need to get permission from are parents. Well, how do you do that? How do you get permission from parents to speak into their kids' lives? Well, first of all, I think you have to discuss the vision for your youth ministry. What are we trying to do here? What your child is entering into something, and you think it's maybe games and pizza all the time, but in reality, it's a little bit more than that. And I think it's important to highlight the importance of open communication and mentorship, and you have to frame yourself as a resource supporting the parent's role in their child's faith development. Now, if we look at Jesus's model of discipling others, you know, he asked people, he didn't just command them to follow him. He says, look, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He was seeking the permission, say, hey, come follow me. And if you follow me, well, then I'm going to share some things with you that you probably need to hear, that you are longing for, that you are seeking in your life. And I want to help you do that. Jesus gave his followers permission to go or to stay or to listen or to not listen. And Jesus was a rabbi, a respected teacher, and we, on the other hand, are youth pastors who, quite frankly, we don't even have as much right to spiritually lead coach students as much as a middle school assistant basketball coach. Coaches, teachers, all have significant amount of more leeway because grades are involved, because scholarships are involved in those things. And parents tend to look at them and say, well, sure, you can say, you know, whatever you want to my kid, as long as it's going to benefit, you know, their life and so forth. Whereas the youth pastor does not have as much permission because we're just like activity directors. We're planning retreats and those things. But when it gets down to things about what the Bible says and trying to coach them in life things and decisions, well, that becomes a little complicated. You see, the difference is Jesus was building a movement while we are building organizations that are hamstrung by public opinion, often poor leadership, and hurt feelings. We are not the same. This being the case, though, we can still be effective at challenging students, even if we are not in a formal discipleship relationship with them. So let me share three ways that you can, in a non-confrontational way, disciple kids that you're not in a discipleship relationship with. You don't have the permission to say hard things to them. The first way is humor. You know, use lighthearted jokes and basically little anecdotes maybe to disarm tension and open pathways for deeper conversations, right? You share funny stories about biblical figures to make them relatable, not to trivialize it, but rather to offer an opportunity of exploration where maybe the conversation can go a little bit further. I have a young lady in my youth group that we're not quite at that level of permission yet, I don't think, as far as to say hard things. And so I'm using a little bit of humor with her. And I had the chance to use that this past Sunday when we had a conversation in Sunday school about how much she didn't want to be around people in regards to, you know, being able to share the gospel with people and leading people and discipling people. And she goes, I don't want to be around people. I don't even like people. And the message, our pastor's message that morning was all about that. Right? It was all about being next to people and being in their lives. And I sit behind the youth. And so I tapped her on the shoulder and I said to her, he's talking to you. And we had a good laugh about that. She laughed about that. And so without having to be confrontational or to kind of, you know, lay down the law or correct her from some sort of scriptural standpoint, which would, you know, it's fair. You can do that and say, well, the Bible says. But that's just a tact that I'm taking to use humor to say, listen, here's what, you know, the message is saying. This is for you. It's for me. And so we laughed about it, had a good time. And hopefully that leads to a depth of relationship where eventually, if I have to say something hard, she'll go, hey, Paul means well. Paul's not trying to be a jerk face about it. He's not just throwing scripture at me. He's caring about my life. The second way I think that you can disciple kids without pushing them away is through asking good questions. So instead of just, you know, delivering the information, throwing the scripture out there, whatever it may be, you know, encourage students to wrestle with scriptures and their beliefs. Ask deeper questions. You know, use open-ended questions like, well, what do you think this passage means? Or how does this relate to your life right now? And then just over time, just kind of guide them to discover answers for themselves, fostering a deeper understanding and ownership of their faith. Jesus was the master question asker with questions like, Who do men say that I am? And what would you give in exchange for your soul? And we can do the same thing. We can ask these questions that get them thinking a little bit deeper without having to be confrontational in their development. And speaking of asking good questions, this episode is brought to you by a brand new resource I have called Four Questions Jesus Still Asks. It's a four-part small group series, and it is packed with discussion questions based on four questions that Jesus asked. It has not only your discussion questions, but it has also fun question-type games you play, things like the Would You Rather or This or That, and a bunch of others in there I put in for icebreakers. And I'm currently letting my students lead this. They're leading their own small groups doing this. And as part of that, I gave them some notes. And so I'm also going to throw in the leadership, the small group prep notes that I gave them. So maybe it will help you prep student leaders to lead this discussion as well. So if you are interested in this four-part small group series, the four questions Jesus still asks, all you have to do is sign up for my newsletter, the Youth Ministry Roundup, and these four small group lessons are yours, as well as my notes to student leaders. The link will be down in the show notes. The third way that you can help students spiritually grow without having that in-depth relationship with them is through non-judgmental comparisons, you know, using current events to biblical stories. I remember one time I was speaking and Paris Hilton, if you remember that name, had gone to jail and was in jail for 3 days, I think. And so I happened to be preaching on Jonah. And so I made the illustration that Paris Hilton was in jail and she came to this kind of revelation. You know, she had mentioned something about God or having thoughts or, you know, those kind of things. And that the illustration was saying, hey, you know, Paris Hilton was in jail for 3 days until she got a revelation, much like Jonah, who was in the belly of a whale for 3 days before he said, you know what, maybe I need to do what the Lord is telling me to do. Another way to do it is obviously using fictional characters from movies and books, right? Marvel was a huge boon for youth pastors and making, you know, illustrations, right? So figure out what this student likes, and maybe you're able to make some comparisons, whether it's in manga or whether it's in a TV show or a movie or whatever's happening in the culture. Maybe you can make some sort of spiritual comparison there that they understand it, much like Captain America says, I understand that reference. And what this does, making these non-judgmental comparisons, it creates a safe distance from direct personal scrutiny. In other words, you're not getting up all in their business, but you're offering prompts of critical thinking about personal faith application. So keep these things in mind. Number one, listen actively. Pay attention to students' responses, building on their thoughts and their concerns. Number two, create a safe space, assure confidentiality, and a judgment-free zone for honest exploration. And number three, celebrate small victories. Acknowledge and encourage their progress on their own personal faith journey. So if you're dealing with some students right now whom you don't have that kind of discipleship relationship with, remember that through humor, thoughtful questions, safe comparisons, you can challenge students towards deeper spiritual growth until you do reach that point where that student is actually giving you permission to share with them maybe some harder truths. But for now, just use humor, asking good questions, non-judgmental comparisons to be able to build up to that point. And that is it for today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it enough to leave a review of some kind, be it stars or whatever. Leave a comment so that other youth pastors like yourself who are trying to build a successful youth ministry can find this podcast. And remember, if nobody has told you lately that you're doing a good job, let me tell you, you're doing a good job and you're only going to get better. And I'll see you in the next episode.